Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're visiting with Dr. Tanja M. Coleman, who is an organizational and societal culture expert with nearly 20 years of experience working as a senior level human resources and organization development professional. She recently launched Reimagine Organization Development Inc., or Reimagine OD, through using a combination of organizational change management, positive organization psychology, conscious capitalism, and strategic planning methods. Reimagine OD can put a magnifying glass on blind spots in any business. Dr. Coleman, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Yeah, really appreciate your time, Dr. Coleman, and looking forward to learning a few things from you as well. So for starters, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself and what motivates you every day.
Well, a little bit about me. I'm a hybrid of a lot of different things, so it's hard to kind of fold me up and put me in a box, but I'm an international award-winning researcher. I'm an author, also executive coach, entrepreneur, executive, and speaker. So I do a lot, but really what motivates me is my ability to do a lot and having the latitude to explore and go deep into subject matters that interest me but will also benefit my client base and benefit the community as a whole. I think we all have a responsibility towards mentorship and making sure that you are reaching across and reaching back and making sure that our younger generation is aware of different phenomena in the workplace and in society and how it impacts their community. So that's really what motivates me every day, is the opportunity for every day for me to have a colorful mosaic, never gray and never the same. Every day is very different. As long as you deal with people, every day will be different. And having that opportunity to make a positive impact and leave a footprint.
Well, that certainly is a lot to motivate you every day, and I'm sure you stay busy and it makes it easier to get up every day as well. What excites you about the DEIB and learning development spaces? Talk to us about that.
Really, what I love about those spaces is oftentimes you're educating individuals on different realities that they haven't been exposed to or have been exposed to but haven't been able to look at outside of their own lens and their own experiences. And being able to just elevate awareness, bring historical value and truth to the forefront, but also learning development really excites me because you're always talking about possibilities. What are your career possibilities? What are your possibilities just as a human being? And how can we develop not only for the workplace and what we do from a career perspective, but also sharpening our introspection so that we're better human beings as a whole? And that's really what excites me about it, is that you have this trajectory that you can go on and this journey to continue evolving and developing and reaching plateaus you never thought imaginable.
Now, obviously, within the U.S., there's a lot that has gone on, and I'd like to hear your put on this. What is causing you angst in the workplace today? Get into some of those details, if you would.
Well, there's some research that's really causing me angst that came out about a month ago from Yahoo Business, and it really talks about, but not only them, it's come out through McKinsey and some other large research entities as well, just about how hard the Black working community has been hit, not only during the pandemic. 16.7% of Black Americans were unemployed during the pandemic. And as we've seen this shift, as we've seen sort of this recovery happening, Black employees and Black workers have been left out of that. And so you still have the Black unemployment rate in the double digits, pretty much 10%. And what can we do to address that? And what is causing that phenomena? And we also know that that number isn't a whole number, because that's just who is currently eligible and applying for unemployment. That's not the folks that have opted out because they can't find work or have taken jobs that are less than what they were earning pre-pandemic. So it has an even larger impact on particularly the Black community. And what does that mean, and how can we ensure that everyone is brought along in this economic recovery?
Yeah, really do appreciate your paying attention to these issues and taking action on those as well. Now, why do you feel women are not acquiring executive level and C-suite level positions? What's your thought on that?
Well, we have seen some improvements. However, they're very slow. So I think part of it is a myriad of different things. One, I think, is prospect theory. You don't want to go for what you don't see. When you don't see people or women in C-suite level positions, you think, how can I get there? Is it even possible? And it can be a point where you just don't feel motivated to do it. It's discouraging. On the other hand, a lot of women tend to be in what we call support positions that aren't generally elevated to C-suite or to CEO positions. And then the other piece is women are just woefully left behind in the leadership development sphere in organizations. So when you do have high potential programs, when people have access to executive coaching, when they have access to assessments to really show them where career derailers could be, where they are shining bright as a star, where they might need opportunities, women are left behind in those. So if you have a class of, say, 20, you might have three or four women in that, and within that you might have one person of color. And so we just have to change the trajectory of that. Also, a lot of women are and minorities are put into what they call mentorship programs. But if your mentor can't be a sponsor, if they're not really empowered to help you elevate to the next level and have the seat at the table to really be able to bring you on to highly visible projects, to really talk in your favor and benefit about what your accomplishments have been and what your future holds, then you're still sort of at a standstill. And this has been so enlightening for me and even eye-opening. I've been an executive in larger organizations, but also now working with a myriad of different clients, I see it even clearer. There's even more opportunity for women in this space, but we also have to bring about everyone and make sure everyone feels included so that we can all prosper and move on. But it really bothered me to the point where I created my own executive leadership program specifically for women that's called Executive Women of Command. And this is really to fill that gap. And when the pandemic hit, a lot of organizations, the first thing they stopped doing was development. They laid off their training and facilitators. They laid off their OD people. And so now all of the team members were really left just doing work and not really evolving and continuing to develop. And my organization offers a solution to that where you don't necessarily have to add headcount, but you still get the same results and outcome, if not better.
Certainly do appreciate your input there. That is most helpful today. We're joined by Dr. Tanja M. Coleman, who is an organizational and societal culture expert with nearly 20 years of experience working as a senior level human resources and organization development professional. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Coleman, what is the biggest challenge facing organizations that want to address DEIB in their organizations?
They don't exactly know what to do. They don't have a clear strategy in place. And so with that, they tally everything that is going awry in the organization in the DEIB space, right? They create these long lists of activities and initiatives that they want to conquer, and they're so excited. They want to get all these things done and get their arms around it. But at the end of the day, reality slaps them in the face. And we know we have different priorities every single day. Business shifts. and priorities shift. And what happens in the end is DEIB is typically left behind. It's usually not attached or associated with anyone's overall performance. And so if you think about as an employee, hey, or as a leader, I have 5 objectives that I have to clear this year. And those objectives are aligned to my merit increase. Those objectives are aligned to my incentive. Those objectives are aligned to my long-term incentive. You're going to focus on those 5. If there's something hanging out in the abyss, that's not going to garner your focus because it's not going to impact your overall performance, overall income, right? And so that's the biggest issue I see with organizations right now is DEIB is not built into their operational strategy to the point where leaders are held accountable if they don't meet certain criteria in the space. The second piece is really having a strategy put together. Everyone creates all these lists of what needs to be done, and they all figure that they can do these things in a year. You cannot. We got to this place over 400 years, and you're not going to solve it in a year, even with your best efforts in place. So you need a multi-year strategy that's reasonable, that's digestible, and that where you can really show impact on what you set forth. Because also, once you start to add a lot of things to individuals' day-to-day work, people can become resentful, and then they don't want to engage at all. They see it as extra work. It really needs to be interwoven into the culture, interwoven and included in the overall organization's operational strategy, and then you execute over a multi-year plan, no different than how organizations put together their strategic plans that they present to their shareholders. They don't say, we plan to get from $1 billion to $5 billion in 1 year. They have a multi-year plan in place with several initiatives to help them get there, and the team and the budget aligned with that to help them execute. And it's no different for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, but it's treated very differently.
Certainly do appreciate your report in those regards. That is most helpful. Now, one thing I'd like to hear from you on is obviously the George Floyd verdict came out not too long ago. We remember almost a year ago, companies made declarations and commitments to diversity. Do you believe those are being met, and how are these organizations being held accountable, and what advancements in diversity should we see from them at the 1 year mark? What's your input and thoughts in these regards?
Well, yes, there were a lot of declarations made, a lot of CEO statements made. I will say unequivocally, I've not done the research on all of those organizations in terms of where they are today versus where they were then. But one anecdotal research that's really easy, anyone can do this, is to just go to the webpage and look at their leadership team. And do they see any diversity there? And I can guarantee in most large Fortune 50 companies, there's not a lot. There's less than 10%. So no, I don't think that we have really made those strides. I think organizations gave money, they made a big splash, and then just our culture, the American culture, we just move on, right? We don't go back and ensure that people are being held accountable. You know, people make a big splash, they make promises, we think it's great, and then we move on and assume that they're doing the right thing, or think based on integrity that they're doing what they say. And we know oftentimes that's not happening. And we've seen lately with some of the largest companies in the world have had statements coming from their own diversity teams saying the inequities and microaggressions that they face on a day-to-day basis being part of the supposed solution. And so there is a lot of work to be done, and I think there will be the need for kind of these watchdog organizations to say, okay, this is what you declare, this is what you committed to, and we don't see movement. How are you going to get there? And I absolutely believe that's something that needs to happen. I'm willing to tackle and take it on myself because I do think that as consumers also – we need to make sure that we are spending our consumer dollar with organizations that respect and give us opportunity and really understand that we're part of the community and we're part of their shareholder base. We're part of their consumer base. And with that, we deserve some of the opportunity that these organizations have, and we're feeding money into them. And with that in mind, we need to be on the receiving end of some of those royalties as well. And I think that's really important. So I do think that there will need to be some research and synthesizing of all the commitments, where we are, what's being done, and starting to hold organizations and leaders accountable. Absolutely. I think that the one-year mark shows some advancement in terms of a lot of organizations creating chief diversity officer roles. We have to also make sure that these individuals have the tools, the budget, the resources, both financial and human capital resources, to move their strategy forward. And also, lately I've heard that many organizations do not share their HRS data with diversity teams. So you really don't know how many African Americans are in an organization, how many women, how many disabled, how many LGBTQI. You have no idea, but this is your job. This is what you do. And so there are certain teams that are holding that information back from diversity professionals that have to move these things forward, are responsible for moving these things forward. And as I was doing other research, the average tenure of a CEO is around 7 years, teetering around 7 years. The average tenure of a chief diversity officer is around 2.3 years. So they don't stay around long, and you have to think of why. The why is they don't see themselves having an effective impact, and they don't have resources to have an impact. And so they become frustrated and they leave. So I would love to see, to your point, a year or two from now, how many of those individuals are in place, and then what have they been able to accomplish, and what support have they had from leadership?
Definitely some strong points made right there, and those that have committed should be held accountable. There's no doubt about that, so thanks for pointing that out. Now, lastly, why is leadership development for women specifically so important, and how do you assist organizations in ensuring that their female leaders are equipped with what they need to continue a positive career trajectory?
Right. I believe leadership development specifically for women is important because men oftentimes receive it in the workplace, right? They have access to a myriad of different tools to help them excel and elevate in their career. And women oftentimes are left out of those circles. And once you have someone having a conversation with you and telling you what your career derailers are, what your propensity is for feedback or for growth, or where do you want to go next, or helping you cultivate and develop your individual development plan, or writing out your performance review. These are things that can really turn the corner on you moving to your next role or staying where you are. And so that's why I think it's so important for women to have access. And it's not like we're asking for anything additional. We're really asking to be at the same level and in the same playing field as our male counterparts. And I think that's really important as well. It's important to continue a career trajectory as well, because I also see that there's this huge disparity in women who want to elevate in their career and want to have access to an executive coach, want to be part of a women's leadership networking program, and they have to pay out of pocket for these programs because their organizations do not support them or will not pay for them. And so that's another disparity on women. You're already in the workplace earning 6 to 7 cents on the dollar compared to males. And now on top of that, you're also taking funds away from yourself and your family to continue your own development and self-fund that. And that's also another issue where there's this inequity and disparity that I want to close the gap on. And that's one of the reasons, another reason why I created my program as well, to help close that gap, but also make the cost digestible for both organizations and individuals.
Well, Dr. Coleman, really appreciate your time spent with us here today, the insight and information shared. And I have no doubt listeners want to know how they could connect with you and get more information on Reimagine Organization Development. Where's the best place online to do so?
Absolutely. So I do have a website, and it's www.reimagineod.org. That's reimagineod.org. And then I'm also very active on LinkedIn. And so if you go to linkedin.com/n/Tanja, T-A-N-J-I-A, you can connect with me on LinkedIn as well. I post daily about different leadership development phenomena, diversity, and positivity and motivation.
And of course, we'll leave links within the show notes of this broadcast to further aid as well. Again, Dr. Coleman, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Tanja M. Coleman, who recently launched Reimagine Organization Development, Inc., that can put a magnifying glass on blind spots in any business. And for all the details, visit reimagineod.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.